Good morning. Welcome to all, particularly our guests who today join us at the Madeleine for the offering of this Sunday Mass. Please know that this afternoon we have our annual parish ice cream social. The feast of our patroness is later this week on Wednesday. So this Sunday afternoon we'll have our ice cream social and talent show. So come and beat the heat at 2 o'clock in the parish hall. We have lots of things for people of all ages. And exactly what kind of talents are going to be shared, I don't know. So come and be surprised, like I will be, and hopefully all of us have a wonderful time this afternoon. Michael Hopper, one of our seminarians, who is in residency at the Madeleine, is going to speak in a few moments about a little bit about his story of his vocation, and certainly we'll be praying for him in his ongoing formation and preparation for ordination. My thanks to Monsignor Gear, who substituted for me last weekend while I was away. Special thanks to the 68 children who took part in our vacation Bible school that ended on Friday. A special thanks to Becky Holder, our Director of Religious Education, and the army of volunteers of our middle school and high school youth and our parents that came to help to decorate and to volunteer during the week. Please know I'll be available for confessions this week on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 and on Wednesday evening from 5:30 to 6. And please also, as a nation, certainly we offer our prayers and condolences for the Marines and the Navy personnel that were murdered in Chattanooga this last week. And we pray also for all who have died by violence. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Last weekend I was away at Greenleaf State Park. It's about 15 miles south of Fort Gibson over by the Muskogee area. I was with some friends and spent the weekend camping. Also on Saturday morning went on about a 4.2 mile day hike. And one of the things that I had with me, although we didn't need it, kind of did maybe brought it more for nostalgia, was a compass that I had gotten when I was in college and when I was working for my degree in forestry. And it's not just a regular compass, but was one that was quite specific. You could do a line of sight with it. You can put it on a map to orient it to find out where you are. You can also adjust the compass for magnetic north. Now, grant you, this is all before GPS. Okay, so before GPS, this is how we found out where we were and where we were going with a compass like this. Basically, it had all this compass, which fits in the palm of my hand, had all the bells and whistles available at about 1980. I'd realize it's now an antique. I could set it next to a rotary phone, and a younger generation would come up and ask, what are those things? The purpose of a compass, whether it's got all the bells and whistles or just rather a rather simple one, is to help us find our way, to give us direction. In this manner, a compass is similar to a shepherd, someone who not only guides and directs, but also serves and protects and cares for a herd of livestock. And shepherds, they appear frequently throughout the scriptures, as they do in the readings that we have for this Sunday Mass. We hear from the prophet Jeremiah. He's living approximately 600 years before the birth of Jesus. And he uses that image of the shepherds to condemn the religious and political leaders of his time. They were the ones who should have been the good shepherds to lead the people to faithfulness, to holiness, and by doing so, drawing all the people of the world to God through them. And they have failed. They have failed the people who entrusted to them, who entrusted to their care, because they've been more interested in protecting their own status and maintaining their privileges, going their own way instead of going God's way, and leading their people not to holiness, but leading them to destruction, which happens in Jeremiah's lifetime when the city of Jerusalem is captured and the temple is burned and the flock is scattered. It's interesting if you read through the Old Testament about all the kings of Israel and of Judah and see how many of them were mediocre at best or just downright evil. Very few were any good at all. Kind of reverse of our attitude as Americans. You know, as Americans, we like to see that our military leaders are the bravest. Our democratic form of government is the best. Our economic system is the most effective, and therefore we feel a need to import it and sometimes impose it upon other people. In the case of Jeremiah, when he is saying that because of these repeated failures of those called to be shepherds, God is no longer going to work through proxies. God is basically saying, I can't find good help, so I'm going to have to do the job myself. That the Lord will be their shepherd. And that's what we hear in the 23rd Psalm, this beautiful poetic psalm, these comforting words, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. And we see as the church that Jesus is that shepherd. Jesus is that Lord, the Word made flesh to dwell among us. That He is the one who looks upon those who come to Him with pity, looks upon them with pity, and seeing that they are like sheep without a shepherd. But if we're going to say that the Lord is our shepherd, and there's nothing that we shall want, and that Jesus is that Lord, is that shepherd who leads, guides, heals, and protects, then we must be willing to admit then that we are sheep. Admit that we can't find our own way. We can't point ourselves in the right direction. Not on our own, that our personal and our moral compass needs to be reoriented to see that those other shepherds that we've been following, those others than Jesus, are false shepherds who have failed us and we've been scattered. Often those who are sometimes referred to as the new atheists speak of religious believers as sheep. And they do so with contempt. I suggest we should see that as a compliment. If indeed we accept Jesus as our shepherd, and not just with our lips, but with our lives as well. The gospel reading today picks up right where the one last Sunday left off. The disciples who've been sent out to preach, to teach, and to heal, to act as shepherds themselves, they've now returned and they're in effect reporting in to Jesus. And see how Jesus recognizes that these shepherds, they need some shepherding themselves. He says, come away with me to a quiet place and rest. He also shepherds the great number of people who have flocked to be with him. And so he begins to teach them. And this teaching is a precursor to the miracle of feeding this vast crowd, which we begin to hear in the gospel readings for Mass next Sunday. You know, in a way, the Mass, the liturgy, takes on a similar pattern. First we are taught, we hear the scriptures, we hear the homily, and then we are fed with the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. To say that Jesus is our shepherd and that we are his sheep is also to admit that that we are to be sheep, not only when it's convenient, not just when we want something. Hiking and camping, they're great hobbies, at least for me. But they're hobbies. Being a disciple of Jesus, seeking to authentically be his church, that's not a hobby. To be sheep in need of a shepherd is an intentional choice of lifestyle. It's not merely being in our comfort zone. It's more than simply fulfilling the Sunday obligation at Mass, as important as that is. It's also about worship. It's about charity. It's about prayer. It's about study. It's about what happens after we are dismissed from Mass. But what's said and done, or not said and done, at the dinner table. The decisions that are made in the workplace. What is allowed to be seen on television or on the websites that are surfed on the internet. And to those who are called to be shepherds themselves, certainly the clergy, but also parents, teachers, all those in any kind of position of responsibility. Are we protecting? Are we leading? Are we healing? Are we guiding? Or are we scattering? For the example of our lived witness will speak much louder than our spoken words. To say that the Lord is our shepherd and that we are his sheep is to recognize the purpose of that rod and the staff that the shepherd carries. The rod is in effect a club used to protect the sheep from the wolves and other predators that would attack. The staff is used to draw the sheep closer to the shepherd to protect, to guide them, to clear them of all danger, including those bad shepherds. That's why we should see that the purpose, that's why you should see that supposed limits that are placed upon our personal freedoms in authentic Christian morals and ethics are not fences to hem us in, to limit our freedom. Rather, they are guardrails that prevent us from going off a cliff to our destruction. It's no accident then that the staff or crozier, as it is called, carried by a bishop during the liturgy is shaped like a shepherd's staff. To say that the Lord is our shepherd and that we are his sheep is to have a particular world view, to recognize and accept our place in relationship with creation, that God is not distant, God is not disinterested, but rather God is intimately and intrinsically involved in creation, involved in our lives. That Jesus, through his cross and resurrection, as St. Paul tells us, has removed the barriers that separate us from one another and from God, and that we are created not to bend nature to our will, not to change creation to suit our purposes, and that includes our own physical bodies, but rather to care for creation as a gift from God. To say that the Lord is our shepherd, that we are his sheep, his church, is to see that Jesus is guiding us not to fit in and not to assimilate into the larger culture. Rather, he leads and guides, heals and protects so that we can stand apart, not as a way of exclusion, but that we can live faithful lives, be a faithful lived witness, so that through us the world is attracted and drawn to Jesus, who is our Lord and Shepherd.